calling all members of the in crowd. If you want to get in on the action, we want to hear from you. Hit us up, faderoutemail@gmail.com, or slide in our DMs on IG @faderoutepodcast, or drop us a line on X @faderoutednz. You can find us on Facebook, The Fade Route with DNZ. We're on Spreaker. We're on YouTube, The Fade Route with DNZ. Catch our videos. Like, subscribe, share, tell your friends, and spread the word. Coming at you from the Hey Yo Studios, it's the Fade Route with DNZ. Here are your hosts, D and Z.
Coming at you live from the Ayo Studios.
Ayo.
It's the Fade Route with D and Z. I am D. We've got a great show for you tonight. The Patriots are having trouble signing free agent. The Steelers make some moves at quarterback. And the New York Knicks are contenders. But we'll begin today's show with another one of Scott Boras's guys getting a contract. Blake Snell signed a 2-year, $62 million deal with the Giants, which includes an opt-out after his first year. Snell will now be part of a 1-2 punch with Logan Webb. So, Z, how far can the Giants go with Snell and Webb at the top of their rotation? Bang, bang.
Well, in that
Jorge
division.
Soler, and who'd they pick up? Chapman.
And Lee from Korea. Yeah.
But they're in a tough division.
Exactly. So, yeah. So, I see them as being in competition for the second wild card spot.
Oh, okay. That's...
So, it's possible. Because, I mean, when you're looking at these also
Larry
rings,
is also possible.
I mean, lots of things are possible.
Shit.
You figure that you got the Padres in there. You got the loser of the National League East. You got,
Padres you, what, who lost today on opening day.
Oh. Aww. Eh, wow. Whatever. I don't know. So, couldn't happen a nicer day. It's a shame that Greasy Joe wasn't pitching. That's the only thing. They're saving him for the stateside opener. But, you know, you have the Padres. Now that you have Dylan Cease, they're a little bit more of a contender. You have the Giants. You have the loser of the National League East, whether it's the Braves or the Phillies. The Mets are going to be on the outside looking in, kind of cuspy. You're looking at a team like the Reds. Can they make the jump? It's possible. You have the defending National League champion Diamondbacks, right? Like, nobody saw them coming. We could very well have a team like the Marlins, right?
The Marlins seem to think that they are going to really be contending in the NL East. I'm shocked at everything that they're saying.
I don't see it. I really don't see it.
What they're, I don't like. Good.
Yeah.
Good.
So good for them. If they
good
truly
them,
believe
man.
It. If they truly believe.
Hey
it.
Man, everybody's 0-0 today.
Not anymore.
Yeah,
not anymore.
That's true.
Not anymore. But I mean, Snell at the top of the rotation with Logan Webb, it definitely gives you a pickup. It lengthens the rotation, which is good, because you didn't have a lot of length in that rotation. And I mean, the one thing is that he does have an opt-out, right? So how long is this? This is a one-year thing, and then he's going to hit the market again?
100%.
Like, what is going to happen here? Because Scott Boras completely overplayed his hand. And this is very reminiscent of the NFL. What were we talking about? Like, these guys aren't going to have markets. You have all
of
this.
The only difference I'm going to say is, hey, man, he's getting $31 million this year. I mean, hey, that's not too shabby. I understand it's a one-year deal or a two-year deal, but that's not so bad, see? That's not so bad.
$31 million. For an average season of him is 13-10 with an ERA just above 3. So you're looking at 3.2. even at his low year, right? If you get the best of him, he's hitting the market. The worst of him, he's going to stay.
He's hitting the market regardless. There's no way he's staying. No way he's staying because he wants to get paid. This, like I said, he has earned his stripes. He's won the Cy Young Award. He's gone to the World Series. The problem is the knock on Blake Snell is nobody wants to give him a chance the third time to the order. And he leads the league in walks. He walks a lot of
that's
guys.
That's a problem.
He walks four batters per nine innings. It's a lot, dude.
Yeah.
That's the knock on him. And so I disagree with you in the sense that he ain't going to stay. He's opting out. They're all up. All the Forest's guys are going to opt out. Everybody wants to get paid. All right.
He's an 8-year veteran. You know how many good years he's had? Two.
Yeah, I was going to say
two. $31 million for two good years. Like, that's absolutely insane. It's absolutely ridiculous. And, I mean, he makes the Giants better, but I don't necessarily, like, I don't think they're going to be world beaters after this. And if they're out of it, he's not going to finish the season there. They'll trade him. They'll absolutely trade him. Every contract is tradable. Every single contract is tradable. The Astros were kicking the tires on him. You're telling me if the trade deadline comes around and the Astros are close and they need a pitcher, they're not going to go get him?
I don't know. I feel like there'll be better pitchers out there, right? I don't know.
Not necessarily. We don't know yet.
Like, who wants to? I don't really know. I don't know if that's true. Who would you rather have, Snell or Bieber? I think Bieber's hitting the market. He's hitting the market at the trade deadline.
Hitting the market too.
Wouldn't you rather have Bieber?
He's younger. I think he's has more arbitration control. It's going to cost you more. Here with Snell, I just have to worry about eating money. If I eat enough money, I don't have to give back a top flight prospect. You know, like that's the thing. Like Spencer Jones was the balking point in the Dylan Cease trade. Arguably, Blake Snell is better than Dylan Cease. So if the Yankees can somehow, if the Giants are in the tank and the Yankees are kind of hovering around and they're just kind of in the conversation and it doesn't require Spencer Jones because we're going to eat 75% of that contract, we're going to take the financial risk, then by all means, like the Giants are going to pull that trigger. Or again, like to quote Little Big League, we'll find somebody dumb enough to take you. The Angels, like they wouldn't pony up the money. If they're kind of hovering and they're kind of in the conversation, they demonstrated last year that they're willing to pull the trigger. Now it blew up in their face because Giolito's gone, Lopez is gone. It did not work. But I think the Giants are going to be decent. Like they're going to be relevant. I just don't know. I don't think he takes them over the hump. But he's not a difference maker. He's a Cy Young Award winner. I don't see him as a difference maker. Like Cody Bellinger, he's a former MVP. I don't see him as a difference maker.
What the hell? We'll see what kind of Cody Bellinger we get this year, right?
Precisely. Like these are huge question marks, and I don't blame teams for not paying up. Yeah, I know that Major League Baseball, the MLBPA is like imploding right now. And Tony Clark is kind of fending off the player reps because they want this 33-year-old guy who renegotiated the TV deal. They want him to be on for negotiations for the new CBA.
They need to get Kirk Cousins' agent to negotiate that shit. That guy could seriously negotiate two states in Palestine. I mean, dude is like career earnings for Kirk Cousins with one playoff win is more than Tom Brady with what, 30?
Exactly.
24, whatever it is.
And you can argue that Blake Snell actually has done more than Kirk Cousins has because they were... Think about it. Kevin Cash boneheadedly took Blake Snell out of a game where he was cruising.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Rays could have a World Series under their belt, but c'est la vie.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I would say is I do think this makes the Giants better, and I do think that Snell and Webb are a good 1-2 punch. Just think about the ERA alone. Like you said, both of them have an ERA just above 3. So, and they can pitch. They can deal. I don't know maybe they take the training wheels off Blake Snell, because maybe that's part of the deal. It's like, guys, you've got to let me pitch. Like, let me pitch. Let me play. Like, because if you're not going to give me a contract, like, I got to work for another contract. So maybe this is the year where he gets his walks down and he gets through the order multiple times. And he's a strikeout guy. He does get people to strike out. He doesn't miss time either. He pitches, man. So I do think that they're going to be in the mix. I think you're being generous in saying that they're going to be in the mix for a two spot. Because, there's a lot of firepower in that damn division. I mean, the Diamondbacks were the champions last year. We can't just discount them, right? We've got to imagine that they can bone pony it up. And the Dodgers showed what they can be. I mean, you can't pitch anybody in that damn lineup. And even though Machado went 0-3 today, the Padres are still potent too. So
the Diamondbacks are going to get everybody's best shot this year. That's the thing.
Oh, yeah.
The Diamondbacks, yeah. They're circling that, right?
You guys want to talk shit? Yeah, we got you. We got you circled on your calendar.
Exactly.
Avoid messy accidents. Get better stopping power with your brake pads. Callahan brake pads. You never know when you'll be driving in the road and there will be a truck tire that you need to avoid and save your family. Callahan Auto. Really care about what's under your hood.
But there are plenty of other things circled on the calendar, like the New York Knicks. The New York Knicks took care of business Monday night, beating a healthy Warriors team 119-112 in California. The Knicks led wire to wire, Z, for their 11th time this year, which is tops in the NBA. How are the Knicks doing this without Julius Randle? And can they beat teams like Boston, Philly, Orlando, and the Cavs? And just for the record, for our fans listening, Boston has 10 wire-to-wire victories this year. So the Knicks, not only are they number one, and number two is Boston.
Well, how are they doing this? It's the Jalen Brunson, Josh Hart, Dante. It's the Novacats, man. Like, they are coming.
You don't think it's the Thibodeau show? You guys are gonna just keep playing, I'm not taking any of you out.
That's the problem. That's what worries
you. Hart like played the whole game last week. Like, he played all 48 minutes of the game. I feel like
that is what you have to worry about with a Tom Thibodeau team, and we saw it with the Bulls. Right, he took a team that was young and hungry, and he ran them into the ground. Just because he just played them and played them and played them and played them and played them. Seasons are long. Now, I'm not advocating for load management. I am advocating for you using the length and breadth of your roster. That's something that Tom Thibodeau in the past has not done. And that continues to give Knicks fans pause. Because how short is Tom Thibodeau going to make this rotation in the playoffs? Now, Mitchell Robinson is coming back. Julius Randle's coming back. Hartenstein's played well. You're looking at, a good core. OG Anunoby, that's going to be interesting because he has an elbow flare-up again. Like, what's that going to do for the Knicks?
So Josh Hart played all 48 minutes on Monday against the Warriors.
That's going to, that if continued wire-to-wire is going to bite you in the ass. Absolutely. But they're playing defensively. They're running the Thibodeau system. They're doing exactly what they need to do. They're getting key contributions from their superstar player. Jalen Brunson has arrived. He is a superstar. They've built a good team around him. The Anunoby trade was very good.
What about Bogdanovich?
They brought in a shooter. They brought in Bogdanovich. They brought in Alec Burks for bench depth. Former Nick, now current Nick, Alec Burks.
I always liked Alec Burks.
He's a solid player. Solid if unspectacular. Like, that's who Alec Burks is. And if they get a healthy Mitchell Robinson back, and Julius Randle doesn't have to shoulder the entire load that has caused him to kind of bristle in the past, to the point where he said he once hated New York. I'm sure he loves New York again. It's funny how he loves New York when the team is good. It's very interesting. I find that very interesting. But the sky is the limit, man. The sky is absolutely the limit. This is the most excited you could be as a Knicks fan in a very long time. They didn't make the flashy move, right? They didn't make the Carmelo Anthony trade. They made smart signings. They added depth. They're getting deeper. They're getting
Does Thibodeau get an extension?
I would say so.
Get an extension?
I would say so. They've built a solid core. Like, maybe they're one player away. Maybe they need one more player. But I think that they're trending in the right direction. And I think that they're going to be a problem. Because when you look at Philly, they're barely hanging on. Right? That's an issue. Boston is Boston. Orlando's going to be an interesting matchup. They're young, they're hungry. But I don't know how that translates to the playoffs. We've seen young teams spit the bit.
Yeah.
So this is the most tested Orlando's been in a very long time. And the Cavs are there. The Cavs are a tough out, but they've been there, done that. The Knicks have gone through that. So you have to have a little bit of hope if you're a Knicks fan right now, because you got that little, you got that taste, right? You got the taste. You got that 94 vibe. You got the Knicks. You got the Rangers. You're starting to get that feeling. You know, those butterflies in your stomach. You're starting to get those. You're starting to get those summer 94 vibes again. You know, you're starting to believe. Belief is a dangerous thing sometimes, but this team actually warrants belief.
Boston 31-3 at home.
Jesus Christ.
15-1 in their division.
Oh my God.
For fuck's sake. Like, I just wanted to say on the record, I had this. I said Kristaps Porzingis was going to be the difference here.
I'm sorry. Did they raise the Larry O'Brien yet?
I just said that they were going to be very good in the season. I didn't say they were going to win a championship. I just thought they were going to be a very good team. That's all I said.
I also want credit when we were interviewing with Rich and George. Like, I said that the Knicks were going to be a good team this year, and I kind of got scoffed at. So,
that's true. I did scoff at you.
Yeah, scoff this.
But I just worry about they need OG. They need that dude. To me, he's more important than Julius Randle, because we really don't know what kind of Randle we're going to get back, right? Like, they don't know how that shoulder's going to hold up. They don't know the conditioning. Is he going to be ready to play, you know, play basketball, right? And I think the worst part about it, Z, is, like, I'm just really worried about the first round. Like, I don't think you want to play a Cleveland in the first round. And I don't think you want to play a 76ers team with Embiid in the first round. Without Embiid, 100%, yes. But with Embiid and without Julius Randle, or like a rusty Julius Randle. And then the optics of Orlando is terrifying, right? As good as the New York Knicks are, they have the same record as the Orlando Magic. That's fucking scary, no? And then, I think the Pacers have fallen off. But I don't think they want to play a Heat team with Terry Rozier and Butler. I don't think they want to play that team. So I just think it's going to be like a roller coaster. Like, I really was thinking about it today while I was at work. I was like, man, do I want to really bet on the Knicks to win the championship? And I'm like, do I want to give myself a heart attack? Because that's what that's going to be like, because I'm just not sure. Like, I'm just really genuinely not sure about any of it. Like, come on, Z. We can both say Celtics should be in the conference finals, right? We should say that the Bucks should be in the conference finals. But the Knicks, I don't know. And even if they got there, let's say they got to the conference finals. Let's even say they got to the NBA finals. Now, waiting for you on the other side is a Nuggets team, a Thunder team, like a Clipper team, potentially a Dallas Mavericks team. Like, it's just, that's the thing, is like, it's Could it happen? Yes. Will it happen? I don't know. And right, and this is the same thing that happens every year. It's injuries, and injuries are 100% a part of it. But come on, dude, this guy hurt his shoulder this bad to be out this long. Jalen Brunson's playing out of his mind. They got OG, who is a really good defender. Now he's got an elbow flare-up. He's going to miss some more time. Mitchell Robinson. And then you go and get Bogdanović, who doesn't... He's not assimilating. You hope he assimilates soon, but he's not. And then Alex Burks is Alex Burks. Like, so it's like, I don't know. I wouldn't put my money on it. But... And the other part is the coaching part, right? It's like... We know Tibbs is going to run these guys in the ground. How much is that going to last in a 7-game series? Like, if they got to go 7 games in the first round of the damn playoffs, and then they're going to back that up with another 6-game series or 7-game series. Like, they're not. I don't think there's any easy wins for them. But I'm proud of them because it's very impressive to go into Golden State where Klay is finding his role, Draymond's playing well, Steph Curry's playing well, and beat those guys. Those guys are champions. And you went into their place and you beat them and you scored over 112 points. Bravo. Bravo.
So I'm looking at the scenario here, and it doesn't, at the current standings, I think this is what we're going to get, right? You have 7, you have the Pacers, you have the Heat at 8, you have the Bulls at 9, and you have the Hawks at 10 in the play-in tournament. I got to say, you're looking at Heat Pacers. Those are the teams that are coming out of that. Pacers against Celtics. Okay, Celtics move on. Heat Bucks in the first round?
Eesh.
That's a pick'em, man.
Yeah, that's a pick'em. It
was last year. Exactly. That's a pick'em. That's an absolute pick'em. So there is a possibility. There's an absolute possibility that the Knicks move on. The Knicks draw the Celtics in the second round. Like, it's possible. It's within the realm of possibility.
Which they actually do match up very well against the Celtics.
Yeah.
But if you're going to be coming off of a 7-game series and then go play those guys who've only lost 3 games at home all fucking year,
right?
You're going to have to eclipse that, most likely. You're going to have to beat them twice at least at home.
Yeah,
you can't just win all your home games and carry this out. And the thing is maybe the injury bug gets them, but they still have two elite players, even if Porzingis is out. Like, so the answer is, yeah, I do think they're contenders. I just don't know how long they're going to be contenders for. I think it's hard with the way Thibodeau coaches his guys and the way they play. They play hard. They play so hard for this man. And they're loose ball, scrappy. They play defense. Nobody plays. These guys play defense.
Yeah.
I just, at some point, you're going to have to beat a superstar. And I don't know if they can beat a superstar down a superstar.
Defensive scheme, you could possibly steal a series against a superstar, right? Shooters, you go cold in a series, if anything can happen. So it's within their own possibility. Now, if you're looking at it, more than likely, you're going to go chalk in the first round. Like the Miami, the Heat Bucks thing, it's a possibility, but more than likely, it's going to be 1, 2, 3, and 4 advancing. Because that's the NBA. That's the NBA.
That is the NBA.
Yeah.
You're right. It is.
So you draw the Celtics in the second round. It's a possibility you draw either the Cavs or the Bucks in the conference finals. And then you're waiting for the Nuggets. Like, that's a tough road, man.
Fuck.
You're absolutely right. And, you know, that's where...
Congratulations, you've gotten to the NBA Finals, and now the Nuggets are waiting for you.
Right.
Oh, great.
This is the group of death.
This is it.
This is
Can't
it.
Can't wait.
No.
Can't wait. But keeping basketball show today, Luka Doncic and the Mavs had an impressive win over the weekend, beating the Nuggets 107-105. In the closing seconds, Kyrie Irving cut through the foul line, shot the ball with his left hand, and beat the Nuggets as time expired. Now, Z, how scary are the Mavs if Luka and Kyrie are on top of their game? And just to add a little nugget into there, Kyrie Irving has played 18 straight games. He has not done that in 8 years.
Sounds like somebody's motivated.
Sounds like somebody's motivated by Ramadan.
Even so, they're still seventh. So they're still in the tournament. They still need to survive that play-in tournament.
I guess it's the whole idea of playing two guards of that skill level on top of their game.
Yeah.
That's tough. That's tough if you're a one seed. Like if the Thunder playing Luka and Kyrie on top of their game, are they ready for that noise? Are they ready for that? I don't know if they're ready for that, Z.
Yeah, like, but this
a
is
Timberwolf team. Is a Timberwolf team no. ready for that noise?
No.
That now I think a Clipper team's Clipper team will down them. Down them, no problem. Sacramento Kings team might even down them, to be honest with you. But a Pelicans team? I don't know, man. Kyrie's a wizard with the ball, and he's a wizard when he wants to play. And Luka's just wet from everywhere. He don't play no defense, but he's wet from everywhere. Those guys healthy and on top of their game. I don't know if any team wants to deal with that.
I don't know if anybody wants to deal with them, but the Nuggets will bounce them quickly. Quick.
Yes.
Quickly.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Clap him. Clap him back. Clap him.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Smash
him. They're going to get clapped. Oh, yes. Yes. Yes.
The Thunder will get challenged, but I think they'll win in seven. Just because I think the Thunder are just a better team. All the other scenarios, Minnesota's going down. No, Minnesota, I don't trust Minnesota. I don't, you know, even without Carl Anthony Towns, I don't trust them. I just don't trust the Minnesota Timberwolves. And you're looking at the Clippers. Kawhi plays defense, man. Like, you at least.
Forget it. Oh my God. No. And even pull PG-13. I mean, come on. Yeah. He does.
Yeah.
He plays he's a very good player. He's always been a very good player. He's not a playoff player. He's not a clutch player. No. He's a very good player.
Now, you also have a little issue. Yeah, the Kings possibly, but you know, the Kings are the sixth seed. That's going to take a lot of machinations. If the Kings and the Mavs face off, something has gone really wrong in the Western Conference, to where the top five teams have been eliminated. So we're really looking at the play-in tournament for now. Can the Mavericks knock off the Suns? Yeah. But can the Suns knock off the Mavericks? Also, yeah. You're looking at...
The only thing I'll say about the Suns is that KD is really shouldering a lot of the load right now. If you watch their games, they're looking at him. He's taking the majority of the shots, and he's a walking bucket. I mean,
yeah.
1 foot out of the car, he's a bucket. 2 feet out of the car, he's a bucket. He's a walking bucket. Like, you know, that's what he is. But at 34, 35 years old, he's being asked to do the same things he was doing when he was 27, 28 years old. And I don't know. I don't even know what that team looks like next year, because I don't know if they can bring him back. I don't know if it's worth it. I just don't know. I mean, I just think that, you know, this hasn't really worked. I mean, they haven't really been able to get Beal, Booker, and KD on the court at the same time. And even when they do, it doesn't flow, right? It just stopped flowing. And Booker's the guy you want to keep. You don't really give a shit about anybody else, at least in my opinion. Like, you know,
Beal never made sense.
No.
Like, why am I going to get an injury-plagued alleged superstar?
He's been nothing hurt. He's been nothing but hurt since he walked in the door.
Right.
Since he got off the plane.
But then you're looking at this, right? You have the Suns, essentially a one-man team. The Lakers, essentially a one-man team. And then, you know, they're going to go as far as LeBron James will take them. And then you're looking at the Warriors. That's your 10 seed. Who will go as far as Steph will take you. Having Kyrie and Luka, like, that definitely, having that second guy takes you a cut above. And, you know, sure, that makes you more dangerous. Second round and out, maybe. I don't see them making a deep, deep run. But, like, I could definitely see them getting to the second round. Like, that seems very plausible. Absolutely plausible. Now, it all depends on where the top shakes out. If the Nuggets are able to get to the one seed and they play the Thunder, and if they manage to get to the seventh seed and play the Thunder, again, that's six, seven game scenario could happen. But, you know, I don't, they're not a title contender. No way are they a title contender. They're not going to be in a position to be a title contender because they're going to have to end up on the road the entire series. Like, they're never going to have that home court advantage. They're just not going to be able to do it. Now, you know, playing from underneath, it takes a toll. It absolutely takes a toll. And I don't know, because we've only seen this much of it, right? This is the most motivated that Kyrie Irving has been in forever.
8 years, at least.
Yeah. And then Luka is Luka. Like, he's going to mouth off to the officials. He's not going to play any defense. You already talked about that. Like, he's a scorer. That's what Luka is interested in. That's what he wants to do. Like, you shut him down, you know, that's a problem. That's an absolute problem. So, I mean, they're scary, but, I mean, they've been handled. It's not like they're at the top of the division. It's not that they're at the top of the conference. They've been able to handle them all year this year. So, if they have something left, and if somebody else on that team wants to stand up and be that third guy, go ahead. Have at it.
Have at it, Haas.
Do you love brownies? Of course you love brownies. But you know what's better than a brownie? A delicious, handcrafted, gourmet brownie delivered right to your doorstep. That's what our guys at Sweet Life Brownie Co. offer. Chef Tommy D and the crew offer a dozen delicious delights that you will crave. From the classic OB, to Dutch Apple, to Campfire S'mores, and many more. Check out their website, sweetlifebrownieco.com, for their Friday brownie drops. At noon, their site goes live, and you see what they're making. Since you're there, become a site member and earn points. You earn 50 points just by signing up. Make sure you follow them on Instagram and Facebook, too, at sweetlifebrownie_co, for the latest updates and their latest releases and creations. That's sweetlifebrownieco.com. Give them a call, 845-641-3043, and tell them D&Z sent you. That's sweetlifebrownieco.com, 845-641-3043. Sweet Life Brownie Co., because there's always room for a brownie.
Oh, now we're moving over to the meat and potatoes of the show. So the Steelers made a lot of moves at quarterback over last week after our show.
Here we go, Steelers. Here we go.
Here we go. First order of business was signing Russell Wilson. Didn't have to pay him much because he's getting so much money from the Broncos.
Nice.
Next order of business was getting rid of Kenny Pickett, who was not happy about Russell Wilson coming to Pittsburgh. That's okay, Kenny. We've got a place for you. You're going to Philadelphia. He's going to the Eagles. And then the Steelers traded a conditional 2025 sixth-round pick to the Chicago Bears for Justin Fields. Ryan Pace must have been listening to the show. So what are your thoughts on all the Steelers' moves?
And immediately Mike Tomlin and the Steelers organization said that Russell Wilson's our guy. Good job. So... At least Justin Fields is going to go into camp and he's going to push Russell Wilson. He's going to push him.
I think so.
He wants to compete. Like, you know what? At the end of the day, I think he has more dog in him than Kenny Pickett. Like, Kenny Pickett, I'm not happy that you traded for that, or you signed a veteran to come in and push me. I wanted Mitchell Trubisky, a guy that I know I could beat, a guy who I have beaten. Who am I? Sam Darnold? Like, come on now. So there's absolutely no compete in that guy. Philly, buyer beware. Absolute buyer beware. This is not a guy you want. Cause that attitude, he does not strike me as a gamer. He doesn't strike me as a competitor. And
who's that?
Kenny Pickett.
Oh, yeah.
No, that's bullshit. That's absolute bullshit.
He's being labeled a transfer portal baby.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely... Like, he cried. He was whining and crying rather than embracing the challenge and saying, you know what? Fuck you. This is my team. Right?
Yeah.
And you know what? This is a lot like Matt Flynn and a young quarterback named Russell Wilson. They signed Matt Flynn to a lucrative contract, and then what did Russell Wilson say? My team.
I don't care.
My team. Go sit on the bench. So
are you prepared to label Justin Fields a bust at this point? Is he a bust? Traded for a conditional 6-round pick.
It's kind of hard not to think he's a bust. Now, that entire draft class outside of Trevor Lawrence is a fucking bust. Trevor Lawrence is the only player that's still a starter. Zach Wilson, who the fuck knows?
Zach Wilson's house is on the, his condo's on the market in Jersey. Nobody wants that shit either.
No, absolutely not.
See, so Kenny Pickett was traded for a 4th round.
Yep. Yeah. And there's less tape on him. Justin Fields, they overplayed that scenario because they had the commodity and they just let it die on the vine because what happened? Oh, Russell Wilson's available. Oh, Kirk Cousins is available. Oh, I can go bring in Sam Darnold. Strike while the iron's hot. Strike while you have the leverage. You had the commodity.
I'm sorry, you got traded for a 3rd round pick and a pair of 2025 7th round picks.
Wow. I mean, at the end of the day, he's not going to see the light of day anyway. Kenny Pickett, that's Jalen Hurts' team.
Well, yeah.
That is Jalen Hurts' team.
But let's see, 60 quarterbacks took snaps last year. He going to get a snap. He's gonna play for the Eagles. I promise you.
He's gonna get victory formation. Does that count? He'll get victory formation in a blowout.
Well, I had said another person. Clearly, Rosenberg's listening to the show because I said the Eagles should trade for a backup quarterback. They went and traded for a backup quarterback.
Not the guy you thought they would trade for, but they did trade for.
Maybe they made that phone call though. We don't know.
It's true.
Maybe they made that phone call.
That's 100% true.
They could have got him for cheaper, apparently. They could have got him for a 6th round conditional pick.
Yeah.
What do I think about this trade? Well, I think it's a good fit for Russell Wilson. I think he needs Mike Tomlin as his coach. I think, and it's on the dime. It's on the dime. It's cheap. And this makes Russell Wilson try to prove himself. He had a good season last year, so I would think he's going to have a decent season this year. And a team that's really built on defense, which is what he played for in Seattle, that's what they run the ball here. Like, these are all things that speak to Russell Wilson, right? Now, as far as the Justin Fields thing, he's a bust. As terrible as it sounds, he is. My man was a 1st-round pick. He played 2 years in the league. And now he's traded for a 6th-round conditional pick where word on the street is no team wanted him. And every team said he's a backup. That's tough, Z. I mean, that's tough to swallow. I mean, if you're the Bears, you're like, fuck. And let me tell you, the Bears have had a tremendous offseason. Not like the Jets, but they've had a tremendous offseason getting Keenan Allen, and they're going for it, man. They're like, yeah, we're gonna.
Oh yeah.
This might be the best team a rookie quarterback has ever stepped into, with DJ Moore, Keenan Allen. They went and got a Swift from the Philadelphia Eagles, like. He's got players. Like, there are players on this team on offense.
Yeah. You still have Cole Kmet. You brought in Gerald Everett. So now you have depth at the tight end position.
They're going for it. And they still got draft picks. They still got picks.
Yeah.
And they're in a division they're no world beaters in that division. The Vikings are starting over at quarterback. Love is going to be in his second year as a starter. They just dumped Aaron Jones. So they picked up Josh Jacobs.
Right.
Their receivers are young. So
And then you have the Lions, who were in the NFC title game last year.
And the Lions are in the NFC title game. So it's definitely a division in flux. It's not possible, but yeah. And then if you're Zach Wilson, I mean, you're like, fuck. A conditional six for Justin Fields, who played and played very well, I thought. Dude, you are donezo. You are so donezo. You can't even sell your condo, right? You want no part of New York. You just want out of here. Please, God, let this nightmare end.
Well, I mean, there's always Denver, Colorado. There's always Englewood, Colorado.
That would be very interesting if he was to go there.
You know, but you're talking up the other side of this with the Bears, but let's talk about the Steelers. Like, they've improved their quarterback room. I mean, they traded Deontay Johnson. Like, yeah. They didn't get better, right? They got better at quarterback, but then, I mean, you lose out on another mercurial wide receiver. Right, that's a third mercurial wide receiver. AB, Juju, now Deontay Johnson. Like, skill position wise, you're kind of where you were, slightly less talented. You have a better quarterback. Do you?
They went and got the guy from the Ravens, right, Patrick Queen.
They brought in Patrick Queen. They did. They gave TJ Watt some help, but did this team get better? Did this team go from barely squeaked into the playoffs to fuck yeah, we're making the playoffs with a healthy Joe Burrow coming back, with Jerry Jeudy going to the Browns and another year of Deshaun Watson, maybe more comfortable in the system, and then of course the Ravens are the Ravens. It's always the black and blue division.
Somebody told me Mark Andrews went to a different team. Is that true?
I don't think so. But I can look that up. But, I mean, I don't know. I really don't know how much better the Steelers got. They definitely got a better quarterback.
Yeah, no, he didn't. He's still busy.
Their quarterback room is better. But when all things are considered and everybody is healthy, that's a last-place team. That's still a last-place team. So they need more.
Looking at the talent, well, they did make the playoffs this year, right? They lost to Buffalo, I think, in the first round.
They did, but wait. They did. However, we both know that that was the Cleveland Browns spot, and technically it was the Jacksonville Jaguars spot that they fucking choked. So it should have been the Browns, because the Bengals should have been in the playoffs because Joe Burrow should have been healthy. Like, ifs and buts and candies and nuts and all that stuff. It was a very fortunate scenario that Joe Burrow got hurt. You actually protect Joe Burrow. They brought in Trent Brown. They brought in Orlando Brown. What can Brown do for them? Yeah, hopefully keep Joe Burrow healthy.
I'm starting to get worried about Burrow. This is 2 years of him not playing, man. Like, straight up not playing at all. No, I agree with you. I think looking at the talent, like just looking at rosters, looking at talent, they're definitely last in the division as far as talent goes. But Tomlin's been there 20 years.
Yeah.
He's got to coach the players he has. He's got to figure it out. My suggestion would become, you're going to become a run first team. You're going to try to dominate on defense. You still got Mika Fitzpatrick. You got Patrick Queen now. You've got TJ Watt. We're going to play defense. We're going to beat you 20-13. We're going to beat you 16-13. We're going to beat you 16-10. Like, that's what we're going to do, because they're not blowing anybody out on the outside, and their running back has been okay the last couple of years. So they still have a lot of work to do, but I like the moves that the Bears made in the front office, and I like the moves that the Steelers made in the front office last week. One front office that's not doing so hot, Z, is the New England Patriots. Word on the street is they're having trouble signing free agents. They have a ton of cap space. They have a new head coach, but they don't have a quarterback. And they also have an owner that seems unwilling to spend money. Could you see the Pats trading back in this draft? Or are they going to draft a quarterback and build around the rookie guy from LSU?
LSU, North Carolina, Michigan, whoever. If they draft J.J. McCarthy, they're definitely drafting back. There's no way in hell they're drafting J.J. McCarthy at 3. But this is part of the downfall of Bill Belichick. You brought in Gerard Mayo, well-respected throughout the league. What's his nickname? Little Bill. He's Baby Belichick. So they hired Belichick Jr. And not Steve Belichick, like that creepy mullet guy. No. They brought in a guy who's similar in temperament, similar in attitude, and that rubs people the wrong way. It rubbed players the wrong way, and that's why guys that were supremely talented couldn't hack it in New England, right? The vaunted Patriot way. The Patriot way was lauded until they started losing. So, are they going to draft a quarterback? They should, right? They have to do a hard reset on this franchise. Drafting Mac Jones set them back. Now, to be fair, the coaching of Mac Jones was probably very suspect at best. You had a defensive guy and a special teams guy running your offense. What? Right? Are you kidding? Right? So, what are you going to get? If they take Daniels, you have a dynamic athlete. He'll definitely play. You have players. You still have guys on your roster. It's hard to bring in free agents there. Like Robert Kraft isn't spending like he used to. He didn't spend like a few years back when they brought in Jonnu Smith and they brought in Hunter Henry and they brought in Jalen Mills. You know, he went on a drunken sailor spree. Now you got to be a little bit more conservative because the writing's on the wall, man. I think Robert Kraft realizes this is a last place fucking team. I think Robert Kraft realizes we suck. We're not going to be good. So in traditional Patriots fashion, that would be the time for them to trade back. But in a situation where you need, when you desperately need talented guys, I think you're going to have to take the quarterback and build back your organization, build back your trust, create the new Patriot way that's going to attract the new generation of player, right? You're not going to get the Junior Seau's. You're not going to get the Mike Vrabels. You're not going to get those guys. Rodney Harrison, though, they're not coming back through the door. Like, could you possibly pry away a T. Higgins from Cincinnati to pair with Daniels? Like, could you possibly, like, Calvin Ridley is going to probably hit the market again because that's what happens. Yeah, you sign a 4-year contract. That don't mean shit in the NFL. So could a guy like that move around again, end up, in New England? It's possible. Anything's possible. But the culture will bring the players. And I think they need to revamp the culture, and they need to demonstrate to the rest of the league that we're willing to turn over a new leaf, we're willing to create something new, and we'll show you. Just take our phone calls, please.
Yeah, I don't see it, Z. I think they're going to trade back because it's the Patriot thing to do. They've done that for years. They need picks. I don't think Jaden Daniels isn't going to solve their problem overnight. They need more players. Their big free agency signing was KJ Osborne. Who? Yeah, that guy. They lost out on the Ridley,
mm-hmm.
trying to get him.
Yeah.
He really didn't want to go there. He was only listening to them because they were going to try to pay him, but they don't pay people. I think they're going to take like a massive step back, and I mean like 1970s step back, where they are not going to win games. People are not going to go to their games. They're not going to be competitive. I think this is what the Kraft era, this is how it's going to finish. This is how it's going to roll out. Like, Z, think about it. If you're a free agent, right? What would attract you to go play for the New England Patriots? Why would you go there right now? They've got a rookie head coach. Like, guys liked. Yes, sure. But they have a rookie head coach. We don't know how he's going to coach. They don't have a quarterback. What they're probably going to... What if you're a receiver like Ridley, or you're an offensive player, like, okay, I guess we're going to draft a quarterback. You're trying to be optimistic about it. that just means you're going to suck next year, because there ain't nobody they're going to draft that's going to make them over 500.
No.
And then you're going to be playing for the New England Patriots. You're not going to be able to do what Tom did. You're not going to be able to do what Gronk did. Like, you're not going to be able to replicate all the success they had the last 20 years. So what am I going here for? What am I trying to do? Everyone's going to hold me to a higher standard because I'm wearing a Patriot uniform. Why do I want to deal with that? I don't want to deal with that. So it makes sense to me that they can't sign players. From what I understand, from what I've heard through the grapevine, any free agents gone to them is asking for double. They're asking for double what they're asking from other teams. Like, that, it's that absurd, because it's like, man, do I really want to deal with this bullshit? It's like, all right, I'll deal with it, but this is what I got to get, man. You know, and it's just like, and they're not going to do it. So, no, I think the Patriots are walking down a very narrow corridor for the next 10 to 15 years until people forget about the Brady era and they usher in a new type of system and a new type of coach.
The NFL is such that you could take big swings very quickly. Now, you need stable ownership, which they have. It's not a situation like Carolina where David Tepper is absolutely, like, off his rocker, right? He's not firing Frank Reich. He's not, you know, like, Robert Kraft is not doing that. He let Bill Belichick stay on for a while. So, Jerod Mayo is going to get his shot. Jerod Mayo is definitely going to get a shot. You need stability. You need the quarterback. Right? The Patriots were fine, good, under Bill Parcells with Drew Bledsoe. Belichick took them to the next stratosphere. You need the right coach. You need the right quarterback. Is Daniels the guy? Is the question. If you wholeheartedly believe that he's the guy, then by all means, take your guy. Take best available. Now, you have some assets that you can move if need be to get extra draft capital. So, even if you move back, you still have players on this roster that you can move if you go, you know, if you're like 3-8, move some pieces. But you absolutely can. Now, the only saving grace of moving back and then taking a quarterback later is that he's going to be cheap, right? Goes back to Russell Wilson. Everything goes back to Russell Wilson today. Like, the window for the Seahawks was open longer because they had a quarterback on a cheap rookie contract. Right? The Cowboys window, it's closed now, but for a while there, because Dak Prescott did not get paid, he was working on a third round salary. You were able to make that work. So that's the benefit of trading back and taking a quarterback like a J.J. McCarthy in maybe the high second. Maybe there's a guy in the third round that you take. Who knows? But when your organization needs to take such a reset, like, it almost doesn't matter. And it kind of underscores the fact that they probably should have done this, 4 years ago? Right? Bill used to pride himself on, like, being early rather than late in terms of player evaluation. And then they were so late on breaking this up. They were so late on, you know, deciding that moving on from Brady was a bad idea. So, Patriots are absolutely going to be in the wilderness. You're 100% right. But, I mean, getting a guy like Jaden Daniels would probably get some asses in seats. And maybe that is what, maybe that's what's gonna sustain for a little while. You know, just get asses in seats, catch lightning in a bottle. Maybe, just maybe, you can turn this thing around quickly and get that quick injection, because anything can happen. I mean, it's football. It's the NFL. Worst of first happens. It's one of the few sports where worst of first does happen. So, we'll see. It doesn't look good. There needs to be a little bit of image rehab. And you know what? When it all boils down to it, like Cousin Eddie once said, you ready to do some kissing?
You can't help but smile when you see a balloon. The simplest occasion is a party. Westchester Pop Stars, located in New Rochelle, New York, offers balloon styling and decor for all life's events. Birthdays, anniversaries, weddings, showers, school and corporate events, store openings, or just because. Westchester Pop Stars takes balloons and shapes them into works of art, creating decorative installations for your special occasions. No event is too big or too small, and their custom personalization service is top notch. Westchester Pop Stars is a private studio, quickly expanding. In-person consultation is by appointment only. Send an email to westchesterpopstars@gmail.com for more information or to schedule an appointment. No need to hire an event stylist. All you need is balloons. Currently servicing Westchester, Putnam, New York City, and Connecticut. To find Westchester Pop Stars, search for them on Instagram, Facebook, or Google.
The choice is yours. Swipe left or swipe right. All right, boys and girls, especially my online dating fans, we have some statements, and we either swipe left or we swipe right. Swipe left or swipe right, number one. Zach Wilson as the third string QB for the New York Jets.
I'll swipe it right. I hope this happens to be hilarious. Where's he gonna go, Z? Where's he gonna go? There's nowhere for him to go. You can't, if you cut him, you're taking an $8 million or maybe it's, I think it's an $11 million hit. It's just best to bring him back. And you're gonna need him. You're gonna need him because on average, the last 3 years or 4 years, the Jets have played three quarterbacks. You got a quarterback who's 40 years old coming off an Achilles tear. You got Tyrod Taylor, who can never stay healthy, and I think he's 35. And then you've got this kid. Yeah. Yes. Swipe right.
Oh, God. Well, the way things are going, I mean, Aaron Rodgers is going to be on the campaign trail, right? So technically, Zach Wilson would be the number two.
Tyrod.
No, no, no. If Aaron Rodgers is on the campaign trail, he's running for vice president with RFK Jr. Tyrod's the starter. Tyrod's the starter. Oh, Zach's your number two.
Right.
So that's even better. Good for Zach. You got a promotion. Good for you.
Oh, hell.
Oh, man. Do we puncture his lung again? Son of a bitch.
I love how the people forget this, but the... It came out that Zach never wanted to play for the New York Jets again, right? And they quickly shot down that rumor. And then he winds up starting that weekend. And I believe it's either that weekend or the next weekend, he gets concussion and doesn't play the rest of the season. How convenient. He suddenly got a concussion and was unable to play. And I saw Zach take some mean hits all year.
Yeah.
It's just interesting that he got the concussion shortly after that statement. And was unfitted to play for the last four games of the season.
So I guess swipe left on this. I at this point, this kid, for his own sanity, needs to get away from this team. He just really needs to go away.
I heard that was one of the deals that they made with him. It was like, oh, we'll find a place for you next season. We know it's important for you to, you know, to move on.
Yeah.
Zach, can you do us a favor? Can you try to find a trade for yourself? Because we're not having any success.
We're not having any luck whatsoever. Like, where would you like to go? Kansas City? Oh, who wouldn't like to go to Kansas City? Not happening. Oh, the Rams? They just signed Jimmy G. So...
Who's banned for two games.
Yes.
Yeah, that's all right. We'll figure it out.
The Giants just got Drew Lock, so that's a no. They still have the immortal Tommy DeVito, so that's a no. The Jets are up Schitt's Creek, man.
Maybe Arizona?
Maybe Arizona. Maybe Minnesota.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe. Now that I'm thinking about it, Kansas City doesn't sound too crazy.
No, they have, what's his name? The former first round pick.
Gabbert.
Went to Missouri. You got Gabbert.
Yeah, they have Blaine Gabbert. But you said as a third round. As a QB3. As a QB3? Yeah.
They're not taking him as a QB3.
Now, I mean.
They only roll with two in Kansas City.
Maybe as a stretch. Maybe the Lions.
Maybe the Chargers.
Maybe the Chargers. Like, that's going to be, again.
Vikings seems possible. Vikings make sense.
The Broncos. The Broncos make a lot of sense.
That'd be so great.
The Broncos make a ton of sense. And it's not for the right reasons.
I want him to succeed. I want him to play well. I actually want him to shove it in their face. Because I do think he's a talent. He just needs to coach.
Yeah.
He needs an offensive fucking coach to teach him how to play quarterback. And these guys in New York are all excited over signing Mike Williams.
Right.
Mike Williams.
I don't know.
And the rotting carcass of Tyron Smith. Yeah. And don't worry, Bakhtiari will be there soon.
Yeah, no, that train's not late. Aaron Rodgers getting he's taking care of his boys. Don't worry. Aaron Rodgers will absolutely be taking care of his boys. But, you know, it's got to be done for him, man. Psychologically, like, he needs a break. He needs a clean break from this place. He needs to start anew. He's got to start fresh. And if you're going to hide out in witness protection, in terms of that, like the witness protection program of the NFL, go to the Carolina Panthers. Like, there you go. It's the NFL equivalent of Siberia. So there you go. Like,
Chicago used to be there.
Exactly.
Chicago used to be.
Things are looking up in Chicago.
Chicago used to be wide receiver hell.
Yeah. Well, now it's quarterback hell. Good luck, Mr. Williams. So we'll see about that.
Hey, man. They are putting a nice team around him. Give them a lot of credit. I don't know how he's going to play, but they're definitely he's not starting from zero.
No, he's definitely not. They're
and he looked good today in his pro day. At pro day, everybody looks good.
Zach Wilson looked good in his pro day.
No, Zach Wilson, because that stupid throw, the throw that he never even did in the league.
Yeah.
That whole crossbody bullshit, that doesn't happen.
No, like
pass gets picked off every time.
He's a mobile Jeff George. Like, there you go. I can throw him over them there mountains.
I'm not giving him that much credit.
He's Uncle Rico. I can throw it over them there mountains.
I don't have a comparison for him. That's interesting. I don't have a quarterback comparison.
No, I mean...
For Zach Wilson.
I got nothing.
Spurgeon wins?
Jesus Christ.
Giovanni Carmazzi?
Oh, Jesus. We're rolling deep here. Oh, my God. I mean, I would have said the Niners, but they just picked up Josh
Dobbs.
It's
just because he runs in the... Yes. Yes. That's actually... You forgot Josh Dobbs went there. That would have been a good spot. Not even Kyle Shanahan wants this kid. Fuck.
Oh, we kid because we love Zach. We kid because we love, but
we wish we could tag you, but you don't allow that stuff. You're very sensitive.
Absolutely. They beat the Eagles. The Eagles and Steelers beat them to it. He could have done a nice little quarterback kneel down for Jalen Hurts. Like that would have been fine. I mean, he can go back up Marcus Mariota. Go to the Commies. Go back up Marcus Mariota in Washington. Why not? Who are they going to take? Drake May at number two? Okay, sure, fine, whatever.
I wouldn't be surprised, Z. I really wouldn't be surprised if they try to trade up. Because what'd you get Cliff Kingsbury for? You got Cliff Kingsbury to coach Drake May? Man. That doesn't work. That don't work. I don't want that. Drake May don't want that.
No. Drake May doesn't want that.
I don't want that.
Caleb Williams will want that.
Caleb Williams will want that.
And he's local. So it makes all the sense in the world. They're going to try and move heaven and earth. Try and move heaven and earth to get off of that.
Those Robert Griffin III trades. Which is why I think it was smart that the Bears did this move now. Because now you're ready. Who wants the number one pick? Because if we're taking this guy, at least they're making everybody think of him.
Right. There's a lot of intrigue.
Like the Mitchell Trubisky thing.
Oh, God.
We'll take him. We're going to take him. Psych.
Nope.
Solomon Thomas.
Okie doke. Okie doke. Gotcha. Swipe left or swipe right. Number two. Dodgers and Padres opening up the season in South Korea.
Awful. Awful. Hard swipe left on this. And I was talking to somebody today that was like, oh, you know, they love baseball over there. And I think it's great. I was like, what? It's opening day in baseball. There is no other sport that has an opening day like baseball, in my opinion. And you just sucked all the wind out of that by having the Dodgers, who everybody wants to see, and the Padres play at 5 o'clock this morning. You just took the wind out of the whole thing, Rob. And then I might be more on board with it if everybody started today. But no, everybody starts next Friday. So you just had these two teams play a two-game series. More went into this than was necessary. You want to have them play in Korea? Have them play in Korea next month. Have them play in Korea in July. Why opening day? Why did we have to do this now? The first time we get to see Ohtani is in Korea. First time we see Ohtani playing for the Dodgers is in Korea? Come on, man. That's just... No, hard swipe left. Don't like it at all.
I'm swiping left too. I understand the idea of trying to grow the game and all that stuff, but baseball's already plenty popular in Korea. Baseball's already plenty popular. Now, you're set everybody back a week, right? Because then they're going to come back from this series. They're not going to be adequately prepared because they were ramped up for this week. That always runs a risk of additional injury as well, because you had to ramp up for a week earlier game where things are now meaningless once you get back to the States. Because you'll have your series, and then what? You're going to go back to spring training? Like, that's what's going to happen. Or you're going to go back to Dodger Stadium, you're going to go to Petco, and you're just going to, what, play simulated games? You're going to play against your minor league camp until it's time to play again? Like, you're setting these guys up, man. Now, the saving grace is that it was a good game. You're looking at 5-2, right? Glasnow pitched well, 5 innings, 2 runs, 2 hits. So it's exactly what you want. He finished the game. He finished healthy. You know, he finished his time healthy. Didn't leave with an injury. Unlike the whole Ohtani thing, you see that his interpreter got fired. Apparently some massive theft. So
to handle gambling debts.
Yeah, I mean, what the hell is going on?
Baseball loves the sound of that.
Yeah, so the first day, opening day of the new season, oh, we have to fire your translator.
I heard Ernie Bickerstaff from the Cleveland Browns, their head coach, has been getting threats from gamblers about the way he's coaching his team.
It doesn't surprise me whatsoever. Like, gambling is pervasive in the, you know, in our culture now. It's a huge, huge way about it, but, you know, throwing off players' routines, throwing off their body clocks, exposing them to greater risk of injury, it's just not worth it, you know? Yeah, they put a beating on Team Korea. Both teams, I believe, beat Team Korea before they met each other, and, you know, whoop-de-doo. Whoop-de-doo. Now, get them back stateside and let's get this show on the road. Because ultimately, this doesn't really do anything for me. I remember when the Yankees played the Rays at the Tokyo Dome. Like, that was, you know, we're up at 5 o'clock in the morning watching that. That's, you know, I was a sophomore in college. I had nothing better to do. Now I'm a grown-ass man with responsibilities. I got better things to do. So, like, MLB, that's a major swing and a miss. Especially for, a, you know, especially for, like you said before, a supposed rivalry, right? A supposed, you know, team that we have an interest in. Kind of shot yourself in the foot there. There's a reason why the NFL sends the teams nobody wants to watch to London. There's a reason why they do that. You could have sent, you know, take your pick. You could have sent the White Sox and the Mariners. Like, no one would have batted an eye. Nobody would have batted an eye. But c'est la vie. You just hope to God that everybody makes it back healthy. Swipe left or swipe right. Number three, St. John's not being invited to the NCAA tournament.
It's garbage. Swipe left. Swipe left. They had 20 wins this season. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
They finished on a 6-game or 7-game win streak. They went toe-to-toe with the best team in the country. Lost 95-90. How are you going to not have them in the tournament, man? Big East? All these good schools in the Big East, this is a power play. This is a power conference play. This is going to happen a lot more, and it's garbage.
I got to swipe left on it. I mean, you have your three main gripes, right? You have St. John's, Oklahoma, Pittsburgh. All three of those teams won over 20 games this year. They did exactly what you asked of them. You did exactly what you wanted. Right? Instead, you took, what, 6 Mountain West teams, I believe?
Michigan State got in. 19-14. Mm. Couldn't beat... They are on a 6-game losing streak.
But they're a Big Ten school.
I don't give a shit. It's not fucking football. It's just basketball.
Oh, my God.
Big East teams would crush those Big Ten teams.
Yeah. And how many teams did the Big East actually get in? Three. Now, granted, one of them is the defending champions. Okay.
Yeah.
That's fine.
And number one seed. I think they're the overall.
They're the overall number one. Yeah. Like, they're not. They won last year. They.
And Marquette is good.
So is Creighton.
And Creighton is good. They're good. Yeah. They're legit. But Seton Hall is good.
Mm-hmm.
Seton Hall should be in. You don't want to put St. John's in. Put Seton Hall in.
Yeah.
I'd even be okay with that. Seton Hall didn't even get in. What's that?
I don't know. It's the NCAA's infinite wisdom that we need.
It's garbage.
Yeah, no.
Because they like Izzo. They don't like Pitino. That's what that is.
Well, I mean, Pitino did not do himself any favors by coming out and citing his KenPom and citing his NET. These are the reasons, you know, we should be in because of these reasons. Did you know KenPom was a stat? I thought No. We have like
a pack of cigarettes.
Yeah. We've deified Ken Pomeroy. We've deified Joe Lunardi. Like, who the fuck are you people?
Joe had us in. Joe had St. John's in. I like Joe.
Like, but seriously, like, come on now. Like, Ken Pom and Joe Lunardi. Like,
I just want to hear I just want to hear the argument for Michigan State. I want to know why Michigan State got in. I want a legit reason who they beat. What did they do to earn getting in over those teams that had 20 wins and actually played against good competition? That's all I want to know. If somebody can give me a reason, put it on our website, put it on our X. I want to hear why Michigan State should get in and not St. John's.
At FadeRouteDNZ. Make sure that you comment away on that. But... you know, I don't necessarily feel that, you know, while they, St. John's, Pitt, and Oklahoma, all of them were rightfully upset that they didn't make it to the tournament, I don't necessarily agree with skipping the NIT, but, you know, I get what they're going.
Well,
it's a little bit of a protest. Yeah. We're getting ready for next year. Fuck
It's a little bit of a protest, but I don't think Pitino wanted to coach his team anymore, to be honest with
you. I'm fucking done.
He really was fucking done with them. Like, I mean, they definitely overextended themselves the last, after he threw them all under the bus. They definitely played hard for him. They played better, but he's like, okay, guys, thank you. Thank you.
I'm fucking done with
it. You can come back. You can come back. Fuck you. You're cool. I'm out. That was basically what happened.
Well, I mean, Pitino.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I didn't want to see them play in the NIT, honestly.
He also learned the hard way. This isn't the MAC. You know, like, you have higher competition. MAC is a one-bid league. Like, St. John's, like, they're going to be better next year. They're absolutely going to be better next year. But,
you know, it's hard to say, Z. It's hard to say with the fucking transfer portal. It's hard to say. I don't know who he's got coming in. And I don't really know who's going to stay.
Right.
I don't know. It's hard. It's hard to say. Especially, like, all the beef he had with some of these guys during the season. Are they going to stick around? I don't know if any of them could really play anywhere else.
It makes you wonder, right? Because you have guys like Saban who are retiring from coaching because the transfer portal has essentially like ruined the whole thing for them, ruined the whole process. Like, they can't get the best players anymore because they're...
I don't know what Saban's fucking complaining about because he bought all his players. You had the best athletes in the country coming to your school. Well, you think it's because you came to their house and said nice things to them?
Right.
Like, come on, man.
But we're not naive either. I'm sure that Rick and Kentucky and Rick and Louisville participate in some of these things. Like, come on.
Sure.
Like, sure. We're not going to be naive enough to say that, but the playing field is now level. Like, why would I, you know, why should I go to Queens? Why should I go play for St. John's, coach?
Yeah, I mean, so the only argument I have there is you're playing in Madison Square Garden. I mean, as a college player, you're playing in the Mecca of basketball. You're playing on Broadway. Like, you're playing in the Big Apple. You're playing where the Knicks play. Like, you're playing in a professional arena.
Yeah.
That's the sale. And if you're a point guard, there is no better place to play than New York City if you're a point guard. St. John's should be able to recruit the best point guard in the country to come play for St. John's. There's no reason why. That's why I don't know how they miss on some of these local guys. It's New York City. It's Madison Square Garden. Are you kidding me? Like, how could you not? Mark Jackson, like, all the Stephon Marbury, like, all these Kenny Anderson, all these guys came from New York or played in New York. How are you not want to be part of that lore? I don't understand. Maybe one of my kids will play basketball someday and I'll find out, but I don't see how, if you're giving me a choice between St. John's, Kentucky, Alabama, and UConn, you're going to St. John's. You're going to go play in Madison Square Garden. Hell yeah. Come on. Big East, 100%.
Well, I mean, I have three letters for you. N-I-L.
Right.
N-I-L.
Right.
So that's the leveler right there.
Right.
Absolutely the leveler.
It's the equalizer.
Completely. And you know what? Having been to St. John's campus, having been to Madison Square Garden, they play in the Carneseca Arena. Like, I get that. So, the ultimate thing, right? Everybody's got a price. And bingo. Million Dollar Man said it best. Everybody's got a price. Now, in this blue chipified world, how much are you willing to pay? Because money talks. Bullshit walks. And right now, there's a lot of bullshit. Absolute bullshit. St. John's, like, you know, you might have to get off of that moral high horse there. You might have to dip into your pockets there. And you might need to pony up for some talent. Your favorite podcast has its own merch line now. Go to the Fade store with DNZ.com today for all your Fade Route merch needs. I'm talking tank tops, t-shirts, sweatshirts, like yoga pants? We got those too. Like some cool accessories? We got those too. And we're not done yet. We have so much more planned for you, but check out what we have today at the Fade store with DNZ.com. That's the Fade store with DNZ.com. The Fade Store presents the Alleged Superstar of the Week Award. All right, boys and girls, you know what time it is. It's time for the Alleged Superstar of the Week. You know how it goes. We put up a poll on our X account at FadeRouteDNZ and our Instagram poll at FadeRoutePodcast. And you vote, and you vote, and you vote, and you vote. And the winner of said vote is a shout-out on this here show and takes home the coveted ass trophy. And do you know who took home the coveted ass trophy last week, D?
You don't.
Narrowly, it was Tiki Barber. Narrowly, Tiki.
Narrowly.
Over the New Jersey refs. So he narrowly beat out some high school refs. Good job, Tiki. You're dead to me. But that was last week. This is this week. Who are your nominees for Alleged Superstar of the Week, D?
All right, first up, I've got John Collins, center for the Utah Jazz. Man, you are a 14 and 8 guy, but you also were the first round pick from, you're coming out of Wake Forest. And dude, how do you get posterized by Anthony Edwards like that, man? You can't let that happen. You gotta put a hand up. You gotta get out the way. You are forever in the lore of one of the greatest dunks of all time. John Collins, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Number two, the NCAA Selection Committee. St. John's finished the season with 20 wins, ended the season on a 6-game win streak, and went toe-to-toe with the best team in the country, losing 95-90. And you chose to leave them out of the tournament in favor of Michigan State, that garbage. And then you also leave out Seton Hall. You also leave out Pittsburgh. I'll throw them into this mix in Oklahoma. So NCAA Selection Committee, you are my alleged superstars of the week. And last but not least, LeBron James teaming up with JJ Redick to do a mind game podcast. Mind the game podcast.
What?
You haven't even gone on Draymond Green's podcast. You haven't come on our podcast yet either. Seriously, dude, you're going to start a podcast with JJ Redick? That's like Michael Jordan teaming up with Austin Crozier to do a podcast. JJ is not in your league, brah. You could do better. LeBron, do better. LeBron James, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Zeke, what do you got?
Good choices. All good choices.
Mind the game podcast. Garbage. JJ Redick giving rep to his name. Trash.
The door is always open, LeBron.
Dookie.
Whenever you want to come on in, whenever you want to come hang out and be part of the in crowd, by all means, come on down. We'd love to have you.
JJ Redick.
Well, we know who D's not going to have on the show. That's for sure.
Once upon a tree. That's his spot. Once upon a tree.
Oh,
you stink.
Tell us what you really think. No, go ahead. Keep going.
Mind the game where we're going to talk about basketball. Show it, Jeff. It's so good. LeBron's on the couchcast, too. How'd you trick him into that? Jeez.
Oh, well, Jesus Christ.
LeBron, you're better than that. JJ fucking Redick.
Speaking of better than that, I thought this guy was better than that. Turns out I was wrong. Kenny Pickett preferring to go elsewhere after the Steelers brought in Russell Wilson to start. Have some compete in you. Come on now. Go
wait,
in
wait.
There.
See, just for a second. How did that all go down? I heard you guys traded for Russell Wilson. I want to be traded. No problem. We'll trade you this Sounds good. Like, thanks, Kenny. Like, we'll let you know where you're going.
It's like, Coach, I've been thinking about it. I'm not really comfortable with this situation. I'd like to be moved. Okay, good. Because we already
no
did.
Problem.
What? We kind of figured you wouldn't like this. So we already took the liberty. And I hope you don't mind. Congratulations. You are a Philadelphia Eagle.
You're staying in state. Congratulations. Get the fuck out of my office.
Jesus Christ. The only thing that would have been more apropos is if you were like, okay, we're going to the Dolphins. You can have the same career trajectory kind of as Dan Marino. So, instead of playing your ass off, possibly beating out Russell Wilson, and cementing your legacy in Pittsburgh, you decide to whine, cry, piss, bitch, and moan, and get, you know, run yourself out of town to Philly. So, you're guaranteed no playing time unless Jalen Hurts gets injured. And if Jalen Hurts gets injured, that season's pretty much fucked. So, there's that, Kenny. How little do you think of yourself as a player? How little do you think of your talent that you couldn't beat out 35-year-old Russell Wilson, who has first good season in forever? Do better. Just do better. Kenny Pickett, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Number two, Dan Hurley. Coach, my man, what are you doing? You get baited into a tech by a fan during your Big East semifinal matchup with St. John's. And this isn't the first time that he's gotten into fan incidents. That's a problem. Like, you can't have rabbit ears. You absolutely cannot have rabbit ears, especially as you get further and further into the tournament. You have to be smarter than that, coach. You absolutely have to be smarter than that, because it's going to cost you dearly. It's going to cost you dearly down the road. Danny Hurley, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And then last but not least, Ipe Mitsuhata. Who? That would be Shohei Ohtani's interpreter, who got fired in the first scandal involving the Dodgers this year regarding some illegal gambling benefits. And this is starting so well. This is absolutely good thing they won. Good thing they won. Or else this would have gotten this would have gotten way more pub. But how are you going to start off the season this way? Well, Shohei, we know that you know, you're here. Thank you for coming. Thank you for taking our $700 million. We got to get rid of your friend here. What? Like, what the hell is going on? It's already starting to become like a little bit of a drama central. But Ipe Mitsuhata, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Vaya con Dios, my friend. I think we've said our piece. Go to our X account at FadeRouteDNZ, or go to our Instagram poll at FadeRoutePodcast and vote. And vote, and vote, and vote. And for our nominees. Just do better, boys. Just do better.
This has been The Fade Route with DNZ. Thanks for tuning in. Catch our podcast on Wednesday nights on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcast. So until next time, stay faded, everyone.
Time for us to run the go route. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of our podcast. If you like what you heard and want to hear more, be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Rate us 5 stars, leave us a review, turn on subscription notifications, and tell your friends. Spread the word, spread it wide.